Hello and welcome to The Change Troubleshooter. This is Nina Dar's podcast. Welcome to Boxing Clever, the third episode in the Channel Your Inner Cheeky Monkey season, where we focus on strength. Today, Nina talks to Ben Williams, a boxing coach. They talk about how strength in all its forms, personal, mental, physical, are put to the test in a boxing environment.
Welcome to this episode of the Change Troubleshooter podcast. And we are still on our season talking about channeling our inner cheeky monkey. And today it gives me the greatest pleasure to be joined by Ben Williams, who is my boxing coach. Has been my boxing coach for the last 2 years and has really helped me channel my inner cheeky monkey. So welcome, Ben.
Thank you very much. Quite the introduction.
You live up to it, don't worry. And today we're going to talk about strength. And strength, of course, comes in many different forms. It used to be that people, when we talked about strength, people would just go, oh, I've been able to do, I can lift this amount of weight and I've got these war stories to tell. It was in that macho kind of era that I remember very well. And things have changed a lot and we've realised strength comes from so many different places. And of course, the obvious ones being mental strength gets talked about a lot now and our capacity for a particular way of thinking, I guess, really sums up mental strength for me. It is about resilience, vulnerability, bravery, trusting yourself, loving yourself, showing up when things are hard, confidence, accountability, authenticity, boundaries, independence, focus and concentration. And then we have physical strength, you know, our actual physical capacity to exert force through our muscles, generate power, improve our endurance, you know, release those endorphins that we love to do through sport and exercise that also boost our confidence and our self-esteem. And really maybe not thought about as a personal strength is things like reliability, your unique qualities that make you you. So whether you're kind or hardworking, creative, tenacious, all those things. But all these things are so relevant in knowing who you really are, who you really want to be, and what you're really capable of. And I think when we say we're looking at channeling our inner cheeky monkey and we're talking about strength, that's where I take this conversation to. And we're going to pick on this from a boxing theme that some of you may think is automatically physical, but is really not. Really contains strength at all levels, which was the main reason that it was a sport that I wanted to move to. And that's where I met Ben. And Ben, you have your own story of how boxing has become such a significant part of your life and how what you were doing to channel your inner cheeky monkey before you got involved with the sport of boxing and how boxing has helped you develop that over the time that you've been involved in it. So you tell us a bit about your story.
So I think it's pretty bang on, just recapping what you said about strength and thinking. Everyone does seem to think it's just a physical thing straight away on how much you can lift and how much you can do and how fast you can run and blah, blah, blah. But it's so much more, isn't it? And I think, especially when we're related to boxing, I'd happily quite say that whilst you do have to be strong physically, etc., the mental side of things, that is, for me, far more important than the physical. Anyway, I don't think my story differs too much from a lot of boxers or boxing coaches. I think the general story, I don't think there's anything special about mine. I was a council estate kid, single mother home, and I was a naughty boy. I was just a naughty boy. There's no two ways about it. I think like most mothers, they probably just thought, right, okay, well, I'll get him into some form of sport where he can let some aggression out, or he can, you know, at least run himself up a bit of a sweat and get him tired so he's not as energetic when he gets home and stuff like that. So I started kickboxing and Muay Thai when I was about 13, 14, I think it was. And then I did that for a couple of years. And then I stopped and went and did what most 15, 16-year-old boys do, which isn't necessarily good stuff, all the out misbehaving, smoking, drinking, things you shouldn't be doing at that age. And I started back boxing when I was sort of early 20s. And yeah, it definitely moulded who I am today. I had a lot of issues with weight as well when I was younger. I was never bullied for it because I was always, you know, quite a popular kid as well, so it just become laughing and joking with me. But deep down it did get to me, and then I lost all the weight, and then I became Ben who boxes, and then fast forward another however many years and I'm coaching people and teaching people. And it's but I don't really find that that's an uncommon storyline in most boxers' lives or boxing coaches' lives. I think we're all sort of aggressive, angry kids at one point in an outlet, and then we found that through whatever it may be. You know, people find it through other things. I found it through boxing and at the time kickboxing. I wasn't massively into that Muay Thai and kickboxing, but yeah, when I started it, when I found it in my early 20s again, that was a big part of it for me. That was when everything, the ball started rolling, if you will. But
and is that because you could channel your aggression, energy? You know, you're right. Mm-hmm. It's a common story. We're hearing so much more about boxing now, about the different types of people who have found boxing to be helpful in their lives. Mm-hmm. So I think it has always been, like you say, there's always been maybe a stereotypical image of that. Mm-hmm. But I'd say now, and maybe because I'm looking at it from my own perspective, I wasn't attracted to boxing because I needed to let go of some aggression. Mm. Although maybe some people,
well, I don't know, I've seen you at a few bags and pads sometimes and I think, what the hell.
But it was the combination. I am very high energy. Mm-hmm. And I needed to let energy go. And maybe because I was older when I did it, maybe that was different. If I was younger, I think a lot of young people have so much energy and nowhere to direct it. Yeah. And then because then they are constantly looking for something, some form of release or entertainment, or just something that harnesses curiosity. And, you know, like we would class once upon a time as adventure. Mm-hmm. But now more and more that can be manipulated. You can find yourselves in the wrong crowd. The stakes are somehow higher. The things that young people can get drawn to seem to be much more destructive than they once were. And I think for a lot of parents, finding an outlet that combines a number of things, which boxing really is definitely about discipline. I remember when I first joined the gym, Nigel would be saying to me, we've got rules here. You turn up, you come like 10 minutes before, you make sure you're prepped, you make sure you're there to start on time. If you're going to waste our time, you're not welcome here. You know, you can't cancel your lessons. If you start moving them about all the time, again, you just won't be prioritised. You know, we only want people who are looking to take it seriously. And we want you to enjoy it, but we want you to realise there's more to this sport than turning up and hitting a bag. Mm-hmm. And it is quite a big realisation, isn't it, when you're faced with that, and you were faced with that as a young person, and now you face other people with that. So, you know, I know as well that I've come in and gone, some days, this is boring. I don't want this routine. And I'm like so sick of the routine of this. And you've turned around to me and said, it is routine.
Yeah, that's the whole idea. discipline is, it's doing the things you don't like to do as if you love them. Especially when it comes to boxing. I can't remember who said that. Might be a Mike Tyson quote. That. But it's doing stuff that you hate to do, like with a smile on your face as if you love it. You know. And just touching again on what you said a little bit earlier regarding things being so destructive these days for young people. They were quite destructive back then for me. Like the smoking and the drinking and the drugs, etc. It was, but boxing, that's what took me away from it. So I had a decision to make. Was it going to be, I'll keep partying, I'll keep being a laugh of all my mates all the time, or do I want to dedicate and be good at something and see where it goes?
Why I wanted to do a podcast on strength is because fundamentally, if you are strong, you are finding out about who you are all the time. And you're seeing the good and bad of that. Yeah, you're always going, oh God, well, that's who I really am at the moment and that's what I'm capable of. Either you're happy with that or you think, not so happy with that. I want to do something about it, which is what you're describing there. And we all do it. We all go through periods of life where we have a moment where we're assessing ourselves and going, hey God, do I match up here to the person that I thought I was going to be?
Yeah, it's a good point. I think, as I was saying before, everyone now, we're not just all on like a constant journey. Like you said earlier about, you're a bit older than me. You should have a better idea of who you are and what you're capable of at your age. And yes, you might be right. You should be. Maybe have a better idea. I'm a bit younger. I'm still figuring out who I am, what I'm capable of. But it's about challenge. So it's just a constant. If I challenge myself, I might find out a little bit more about myself. If I do this, I might learn that about myself. And that's, I'm still very much on a journey of finding out who I am and what I'm capable of, even at 30. And I don't think it ever stops, to be honest with you.
Well, I'm way more than 30 and still doing it. Yeah. I mean, it has been a constant for me, just the constant, is this who I want to be? I throw myself into so many challenges, and I also don't think it's an age thing, because I think some people throw themselves into so many different things and have the capability from a very young age to say, yeah, this, I like it. No, I don't like it. I've done it. I've tried it. I've done this. And this is what, if I was to give a wish to anybody, it was that my wish for them would be they just tried things. Everything. Didn't stay in one job, didn't just try one sport, didn't try one hobby, didn't live in one place. You know, my take on it is that to be strong and to know, to really have inner strength, you have to put yourself in different situations all the time. Because how do you know?
But I think the generation that is growing up now, they're too comfortable. Like, they're not going to put themselves in those uncomfortable situations, whether it's in a boxing gym, in a normal gym, trying to learn an instrument that they've never played before. If they want to learn how to play guitar, you know, they've got to go and get lessons. Everyone stays far too comfortable. Like what you said about living in a different country. How many people just up and go? I know a fair few people do it, but I bet the number that do it compared to the number that say they want to do it is massively different. I do believe everyone stays a little bit too comfortable and people don't really want to be pushed outside the comfort zones.
And when you see that, it's something that we've talked about before in the gym.
Yeah.
When you see that and you see it in young people, what do you do?
Scream at them. Well, I do, don't I?
Yeah.
it's finding people are different. So this is hypothetical. A young 15-year-old girl who comes to the gym, she has her reasons for coming to the gym. The way she responds to criticism or encouragement might be way different to the way I did. So my coaches knew that to get the best out of me, they had to be really hard on me, because then I'd know that I'd be letting myself down, I'd be letting them down, I'd be letting the gym down, whatever. they'd speak to me in not a very nice manner, but that's just the way boxing gyms are, and you've got to be made out and you've got to be cut out for it, and you've got to be pretty thick skinned. And I found that out pretty quick. But that was the way my coaches knew they needed to speak to me, because that's the way I'd respond. That'd get the best response out of me. Everyone's different. I'm not the type that needs an arm around the shoulder and say, right, Ben, come on, right, you need to put your finger out now. It's this, it's that. Whereas I was like, Ben, you know, get your fucking ass in gear. You're being this, you're being that. Everyone's different. So when you talk about getting people outside of those comfort zones, you can see pretty quick in a gym environment, like a boxing gym environment, who's ready to take themselves out of that zone or not. That's when that development really, really starts. And that'll be across all sports, not just boxing.
Yeah, I think it is. And I think in boxing, the combination of the physical and mental is... That also exists in all sports. The thing that I've noticed in boxing is the speed at which you have to do that. And I'm the first to admit, not the most coordinated. And it is that. And that is my personal challenge with boxing.
If you think about your journey in the boxing gym from where you started to where you're at, if we had a video from the first lesson to a video from we trained this morning, from this morning's lesson, you wouldn't be able to believe the difference. It's just because you still have them little struggles with coordination and other things that you still think you're just as bad as when you first started. Yeah. When you're not, you just don't see the difference. And you know that truly, that you're not as bad as when you first started, but it's a constant battle.
But I think that's a good thing. And I think the boxing gym environment does create that because there's so much to learn for a start. You know, I used to run a lot, and you get outside and you run. You run. Now, when you are, and then I wanted to run I did a 10K, and then I wanted to run a marathon because that's who I am. I was not ever committed to the training of that. I ran that marathon completely not in the right physical condition. Mentally, I knew I could drag myself around. I've always been able to do that. But I didn't enjoy it. And I regret that. I carry regret of that because I'm not doing another. I didn't allow myself the full focus of it. And I think sometimes we forget that to really enjoy something, you've got to have enough strength to give yourself to it. You know, when you're talking about the couple of years where you gave yourself to your chosen sport, you will have enjoyed it, I imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. I enjoyed the grind. You get out of the grind what you put in. So I enjoyed just doing it, because it comes from an ego point of view. I felt better than everybody else because I weren't going out doing the things that everyone else was doing, you know. That might be the wrong way to look at it sometimes, but I enjoyed that of like no noise. I wasn't listening to any noise. I was just like, right, this is it. This is where I'll just focus for however long I will. I don't know when it stopped, actually. Well, it stopped when I got to 30 and I decided to have a pint on my birthday, but yeah, there was definitely elements I enjoyed, but there was a very much an aspect of it where it's a lonely sport. Yeah. So when you're just like locking yourself away, not going out drinking, partying, speaking to anybody, but then you're going into the gym and you're training on your own, or you might be training with a few people, but ultimately, like with boxing, once all the training is done and you're in the boxing ring, whether you're sparring or you're fighting, you know, your coaches can't do it for you, mummy and daddy can't do it for you, your girlfriend can't do it for you. It's you in there, and that's it. You're on your own, ultimately. No matter how hard you've trained, whatever it is. So it was a very lonely time, those 2-3 years, but there was definitely elements of it that I enjoyed. Funny you should say that, really, because that was in that time I definitely realised something about myself that I was probably quite needy, because I didn't have the attention that I'm sort of used to now, if you will. So I was like, right, okay. I'm quite a needy person, actually. I thought I was just this lad that was like, I didn't need anybody, and I'm just this tough boxer and blah, 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 blah. But I was like, no, Like, I'm just getting quite lonely here. You know what I mean? But that'd be the first time I realised that for a long time. But like I say, so that was a good part of my life where I realised something about myself. And I know that now. Don't get me wrong, my girlfriend, now she's a lot needier than I am now. But there's levels to the neediness, you know.
But this is what we find out about ourselves. Mm. And, you know, and I was comparing this to running. You can't just go into a boxing gym. Well, I suppose you can.
You can.
You can go in, pick up a pair of gloves, hit someone.
Yeah.
But it's not really boxing.
No, it's not.
There's some setups in boxing that I think are so useful to how, if we're now just going to say our advice, your advice to somebody who's thinking about strength, who's looking to channel themselves in a particular way, and maybe, you know, they're listening to this thinking, yeah, I have always thought about boxing. There's a setup there, even in terms of how you train. It's sort of like the 2 or 3 minute element to it, mm-hmm. where you have to really focus. And it's about focus, concentration, strength, mental agility, that thinking about what you're going to do, what your opponent's going to do. It's strategy. It's everything coming together in 2 or 3 minutes. And then what I read was that's done on purpose because the amount that you exert of mental and physical, you know,
stress,
all of it coming together is so much in that tiny time frame that then you have to go, right, and now it stops because your brain needs to regroup. And part of what you're learning all the time is in that moment where you're resting, you're having to figure out, what have I just learned from that? Mm-hmm. From that last 2 minutes or 3 minutes, what have I just learned? Because I'm about to go back into it and I've either got to do the same or something different.
Mm-hmm. Just that, picking up on that last bit, this is exactly where my job comes into it. You know, coaches above me, is that we take a fighter to a fight. He has a first round. He comes back. He's looking a bit bamboozled. He's just... We've just watched that as coaches, and now we can tell him in the corner, in that break, in a calm way, because you see a lot of coaches when the fight comes back to the corner and their arms up in the air and they're telling them what they should do, and you throw this, throw that, and do this and do that. It's not a very wise way to do it because, okay, so let's say I take you to a fight, Nina. You go into a first round. You have a scrap with a girl for 2 minutes. And you come back to the corner, I think it's your first one, and you're a bit bamboozled and you don't know what's going on. You've been hit about 10 times or whatever. And then you get back to the corner and I'm really erratic, screaming at you, shouting at you, do this next time, do this. When she does this, you do that. How are you going to react when you go back out in the corner? Are you going to be calm and collected, or are you going to be that buzzing?
I know, you're already buzzing. So then you're going, I don't know, now I don't know, there's too much noise, so, now I don't know what to do.
So if you come back to the corner, and as a coach, I go, nice deep breath, relax, how are you feeling? Yeah, you're going to start to come down, and you start to relax, and then that'll take 10, 15 seconds, and then we'll start, then we'll have 40 seconds, another 40 seconds in the corner, 45 seconds in the corner, to just tell you what you may have done wrong, on what we think you should do in the next round. So it's about... Like you say, those 2 or 3 minutes are so intense with everything that you've got to think about and do and perform and execute, and then bring it back down within a minute with a coach telling you, trying to relax you, and then get yourself ready to go back out and do it again whilst staying calm in the corner but not losing focus on what the task is going forward. So massive amount of mental strength you need to just have all that adrenaline coursing around your system, but trying to listen to your coach at the same time.
And the key is the coach, right?
Yeah.
Because we can do sport on our own. Mm-hmm. We can all do sport on our own, and I'm not knocking that. Mm-hmm. But the key is when you are doing sport with a coach.
Yeah. As I touched on before, once you're in there, it's up to you. But it's as coaches, it's their job and our job to make sure you're in there and you're going to look after yourself and you're going to do yourself proud and you're going to work and you're going to compete. you know, and it's the coach giving the fighter those tools to go and do the job that they're saying they want to do.
And also the moment of reflection to say, how are you feeling? Mm-hmm. How do you think that went? Because I'm thinking that maybe you could do this or try this. What do you think? Yeah. And it is that guidance, that calmness that comes from a coach experience where it gives you the ability to step back and then think, yeah, I'm good with that, or I'm not good with that. The whole idea of having a coach there isn't that they tell you what to do all the time and you can't knock back on that. I mean,
it's not wise.
Isn't it? Yeah, you got to know what you say. Yeah. In the boxing gym, you've got to be confident. But that is also part of that process, isn't it? Is to begin with, I wouldn't have said anything, you know, in the boxing gym. I'm just absorbing everything. Mm-hmm. I'm not worthy of commenting on, now I think to myself, oh, maybe I could just say that I'd like to do this, or I could work a bit harder, or because I'm learning, again, what we're saying, our own ability to assess where we are with our own strength and where we think we can go is just so important. And doing these things just helps you so much on that journey. But really, the cherry on the top is doing it in front of a coach.
Yes. A coach can see so much more from where he stood or she stood to the person doing it themselves. I mean, to relate it to boxing, you know what? You can become a pretty competent guitar player by watching YouTube tutorials. I'm pretty damn certain you can't become a competent boxer by watching YouTube tutorials. You know?
Have you had anyone that's come in doing that, thinking that they're at a point, and then under coach supervision, you have to deal with them?
People come to the gym telling me that they box like Mike Tyson and they take their inspiration from Muhammad Ali and that's their style, and the most delusional, ridiculous things you've ever heard in your life. And then you get them going and it's very, very far from what they're saying. I'm a big believer in developing your own style, don't get me wrong, but yeah, like I just touched on before, we've had a lot of people come through the doors of the gym where they think they're a lot better than they are. And, you know, I think as humans, like we are, and men especially, we're a bit cockier. We do think we're a bit better than they are sometimes. And then boxing's one of them sports that's going to bring you pretty quickly back down to earth. We do get a lot of that, to answer your question. Simple terms, we get a lot of it.
So what are the three things then from your experience as a coach, mm-hmm. when you're looking at people and you want them to start assessing their own strengths and what they want to do and how they're coming across? What are the three, when you think about it, there must be sort of three common things that you think, here we go again. Come on, let's do this, let's do that.
So I think of it a little bit like my three things. Corner cutting. At the end of a session, if I tell you we're going to do some ab work at the end of the session and I tell you to do 100 sit-ups, for example, I'm not going to sit there and count 100 sit-ups for you. Because although I'm a coach, I'm not like that. I'm not that sort of coach. I expect you to do 100 sit-ups or as many as you can. If you can do 99 and you genuinely can't sit up on the last one, then you tried your best. Fair play. But the corner cutting, if the coach tells you to do 50 sit-ups and then the coach turns his back to answer a phone call or goes and gets a drink or does something or needs a toilet, if you then cut out 10 sit-ups because the coach is back turned, I always say maybe boxing is just not for you. Because if you're leaving stones unturned and cutting corners, you know, the guy that you're going to be fighting in 3 weeks' time, if the coach tells him to do 50 sit-ups, he's doing 50 sit-ups. And that will, on the night, who knows that the difference between winning and losing, it's minuscule, I know it sounds a bit ridiculous, but could be them 10 sit-ups.
But also, it's the mindset, isn't it? The mindset of cutting a corner. Mm-hmm. I mean, I see this a lot in a work environments as well. you ask people to do things, they roll their eyes, they're going, oh, why do I have to do that? Mm-hmm. No one's going to read it. No one's going to look at that detail. They should. They will at some point. And you need to know it. That's why you have to do it. Mm. And it's really hard and getting harder, I think. So I agree with that one.
Yeah. So corner cutting. Another one for me would just being professional about your work. Like you touched on earlier, coming 10 minutes before your session, get stretched off. Before the coach takes over your warm-up, start doing your own little warm-up. You know, be professional about your work, whether you're a professional boxer or an amateur boxer. Let's go away from boxing. Let's say if it's just the gym, just lifting weights, whether you're a professional bodybuilder or you're just starting and you just want to lift a few weights, whatever it is, just have a bit of professional, take pride in your work. A lot of people don't take pride in the work. They just get through it.
I know, yeah.
Just mosey on through it. Have a bit of pride in what you're doing.
And that's definitely a channeling strength thing because you've got to want it more than... It's not for anyone else. I think we just get so lost in that sometimes. It's for you. Mm. It will make you feel better if you take pride in it and you are the best that you can be in that situation.
I mean, call it vanity, call it what you want. I'm a massive believer in look good, feel good. If I know I'm going here to train, I'll make sure I'm looking all right. It's taking pride in your appearance. You look good, you feel good, you train good. That's, I don't know. Some people are different. I know lads that don't cut their hair for 3 months and they come to the gym looking like a caveman and they train just as hard as me who looks all right. I'm not a pretty boy by any stretch of the imagination, but, you know, I'm a big believer in look good, feel good, taking pride in your work, pride in your appearance, you know. Each to their own. Again, everyone's different just because...
Yeah, but you know. These are things that I think will resonate with everybody.
Mm.
And the third one?
It's quite broad, so, like, being focused, it ties into a lot of other things. You can't, as I said, in those 2-3 year period where I wasn't out partying, drinking, smoking, etc., it was like there's a laser like focus, and just don't listen to the noise, good or bad. If I had to put a third one down, it don't listen to the noise. Just focus on what you're doing.
That like more like trusting yourself then?
You know, we're saying boxing. It's trusting your coaches, trusting the process, of course, trusting yourself. But there's so much noise all the time, and it can be good and it can be bad. And if the bad things are being said in a constructive way, then you have to take things on board, of course. But from your trusted sources, like your coaches, your close friends, whatever, professionals, whatever it may be. I mean, I've been in some situations where, you know, I've been told by other people from... I'd say out of the circle that I want to be listening to on how good I am and what I should be doing, and I just don't listen to it, you know, because I trust the process of my coaches and where I am and where I've been, and I'd like to think my customers and my boxers and the lads that I'm playing a big part, they listen to me and they won't listen to the noise of everybody else. Some people do, and so be it. If somebody else says, oh, you should be doing this, come to this gym, I'll do that. And if you want to listen to that noise and go, there's a door, see you later, you know? So, as I said before, everyone's different. Everyone will do what they want to do. And it's one thing, it's easier said than done for a lot of things. But don't listen to the noise. Find out you trust what you want. And then everything else outside of that. It doesn't mean don't go and experience anything. But, yeah, a lot of people these days, online and in person, just trying to infect your mind. And that's quite damaging.
It absolutely is. I think very wise words.
Not bad for a 30-year-old.
So thanks so much, Ben. For doing this today. It's been a pleasure. And for the last 2 years of coaching.
And many more to come, I'm sure.
Let's hope so.
Thanks again to Nina's guests today, and thank you very much for listening to this episode of The Change Troubleshooter. Nina invites you to carry on the conversation with her directly. All contact details can be found on her website, ninadar.com. This has been a Sun-Soaked Creative production.